comes the story of the hurricane, the man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done.
Reuben Hurricane Carter passed away this weekend. And, I described them before the break. Yeah, cult figures. Probably the wrong phrase to describe the guy. Wrongly convicted. So many societal elements wrapped up in the story of Hurricane Carter that it really does him a disservice to describe him as a cult figure. But I guess what I would say is, because his cause was adopted by so many high profile individuals, people like Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, because his cause was adopted by them, by the literati, by people in the music business, he and his story became a part of social discussion as much as sports discussions. Stephen Brunt of Sportsnet, columnist at Sportsnet, co-host of Primetime Sports, and I dare say the best writer on boxing in Canada, and certainly one of the best in North America, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Stephen, I was struggling to try to figure out how to describe Reuben Carter to people, how to describe the story. He's not the first athlete to be wrongly arrested and run afoul of the law and have racism be part of the story. But boy, he resonated more than a lot of people. And is that part of that, do you think, just because we view boxers in some ways as sort of destined to be inherently tragic?
There's a lot of elements in Reuben's story. There's a lot of twists and turns in the story. But if you want to go back to 1966 in Paterson, New Jersey, Reuben Carter and John Artis were, arrested for a crime they didn't commit, were twice convicted of a crime. They didn't get a horrific crime. Three guys shot dead in a bar in Paterson. If anybody wants to read about the trials, it's all out there, starting with Reuben's own book, The 16th Round, which is I would recommend to anybody, his first book.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a classic story of justice not done. Reuben had warts. He had warts then. He'd been to jail before. He was a rough guy. He was not Simon Pure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the circumstances and look at how he was railroaded, he and John Artis were railroaded. John Artis, the guy was 19 years old, who, he barely knew him, just ended up sharing a ride that night. It was a terrible miscarriage of justice, and the cause was a just one. Came to understand it. Let's get this guy out of jail. He shouldn't be there. He had three consecutive life terms he was serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, the Reuben Carter who came through so vividly in the 16th round, people understood that he was a angry, very intelligent, interesting guy, who had been done wrong. It was a very compelling story. And then, of course, there are all the later things about how he wound up in Canada.
Yeah, what was it about his case, Stephen, that, I know he attracted a lot of support from sort of, I'm going to call them liberal chattering classes. But you know what I mean. Sure. From the literati and people, his story seemed to resonate with them. But it was especially this group, this Canadian group. How did that come about? What was their relationship with him?
Well, the reason he resonated is, historically, this has happened over and over again, was because he was articulate enough to tell his own story.
Mm.
That he was a guy who was in this terrible situation, but he could also express what had happened to him. The book was what drew people to him. Lord knows how many people there were who were in the same situation or similar situations to Reuben Carter who were rotting away in jails. But you know, he had the ability to eloquently and artistically tell his story, and that's what drew people to him. There's no question about that. The Canadian story is it was worthy of another book, and it is a complicated one, and there are a lot of gray areas in it, and there's a lot of contradictory stuff. I'm not sure I can do it justice in this, but, you know, the short version is there was this group of people, you know, many of whom are still around, who lived kind of communally, although they were kind of a free enterprise commune. You know, they were kind of a business-driven commune. They had brought a kid back from Brooklyn, a poor kid from Brooklyn named Lesra Martin, who came to live with them in their place in Toronto. You know, he was functionally illiterate. They taught him to read. And, you know, one of the things he read and that he was moved by was the 16th round, you know, and that's how they found out about the book. That's how they found out about Reuben. There were lawyers, you know, who were working for years on Reuben Carter's cause in the United States, you know, working for free, trying to get him out, trying to explore every legal avenue. But the Canadians did jump in, and they did help with research. They, you know, became very, they connected with him directly. They, you know, brought him things in prison. They cared about him. And when Reuben was finally freed, you know, he wanted to get the heck out of the United States. And they provided a home for him. And he eventually actually married the woman who was the dominant personality in that commune. So, which, you know, there's a book called Lesra and the Hurricane. That's their version of this. And that's the version of the story that became the Norman Jewison feature film.
Stephen Brunt joins us on the Jeff Bush Show. What type of a fighter was Hurricane Carter?
He was good. He was a very good fighter. He was not I don't think he was great. You know, again, one of the things that the film kind of, you know, made people think was that he was a guy who had been unfairly screwed out of a chance to win a title. You know, a bad decision that he lost, a bad decision in a title fight based on race. That's not true. You know, he was, you know, if you think of that kind of era, though, of the Friday night fights, he was one of those guys, and he was very good. But by the time, you know, and again, it's got nothing to do with what happened to him, but by the time he was arrested for the Lafayette Bar and Grill murders, his career was really in decline. You know, he was really, you know, he was losing almost as much as he was winning, and he was kind of at the end of the road as a boxer.
The nickname Hurricane, where did that come from? Was that just related to his style of fighting?
Or? Yeah, through a lot of punches, you know, volume punches. There was another fighter in those days named Tommy Hurricane Jackson, you know, who was a heavyweight who was famous for throwing a million punches, and it was sort of the same thing that, you know, Reuben wasn't the biggest puncher in the world, but he made up for it in volume. He was, you know, he was kind of an all-action guy in the ring.
Did you have many chances to talk to him?
Yeah, lots. Yeah.
What was he like to talk to, Stephen?
He's a charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing. He had kind of one of those. He had a magnificent smile. He could, you know, he was very eloquent. He spoke. He had that kind of preacher cadence when he spoke. He was a great public speaker. You know, he lit up a room when you met him. And sometimes that personality, you know, there were a lot of twists and turns in his story. And it's not, you know, and I'm not talking about what happened to him in the States,
right,
but his story after that, you know, there's some good and there's some bad in there. And, you know, there's a lot of shades of gray, but, you know, Reuben's personality was something that could carry him through. He was, you know, he could work a room. He could light up a room. He could captivate a large audience.
It's remarkable because he was a pretty, when he was a young child, he as I remember reading, had a pretty pronounced stutter, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, you're right about that. And he managed to overcome that. Whatever else you want to say about Rube, he had no shot, you know, early in his life. He's one of those guys who should never, who never really had a chance.
Right, dead-end kid.
Dead-end kid in absolutely every way. And, but, you know, he did have the heart of the lion, in terms of a sense of, you know, of his own cause especially, and then he took on some other people's causes later on, you know, who were in similar straits to what he had been.
Stephen, it was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much again. Reuben Carter passed away Sunday of prostate cancer at the age of 76, and I'm sure you and Bobcat will touch on this.
I'm not in with the Bobcat tonight, but I'm writing something, so they'll
Perfect.
Be coming up on sportsnet.ca very soon.
Awesome. I look forward to it, Steve. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is Stephen Brunt, again,
There you go. Stephen Brunt will have an article on Reuben Hurricane Carter up on the Sportsnet website. Needless to say, you're going to read it. Reuben Hurricane Carter spent 19 years in jail for a triple murder he did not commit. Passed away in Toronto this weekend at the age of 76. Reuben Carter moving up to Canada from New Jersey after that conviction was overturned. We appreciate Stephen Brunt joining us.